been along the lines on a lot of stuff on missionaries and what missionaries do and why we support missions and that sort of thing. And this thing has progressed, and God has given me insight into other things that go along with that same theme and the necessity of it. And as I see our church grow in ministry, and I'm speaking of Brother Smallwood's ministry, that's a revitalized, retooled, you might say, ministry that Pastor Tom had started years ago. And we're very thankful for that kind of ministry. There's all kinds of ministries connected to the church. And that leads me to say this. Brother Phil Skipper and his fine wife are here today, going to be here through the week. And man, what a blessing. I have moved everything off my calendar. Wasn't nothing there to move. And you know, we are not supposed to drive at night. We got a lot of other issues. Old, Brother Phil, don't get old on me. And so we have rearranged our schedule, and I figured it out. I'm not supposed to drive, you know. So I set the clock back, and so I've got plenty of time on the clock. Now, if the sun chooses to go down before I get home, that's its business. But I'm on the winning side here today, and we've moved everything around. We're going to sleep in every morning, rest up, not overeat, and so we can live that Christian nightlife and get in on this meeting. Amen? So of all people, I need the preaching. And this guy right here, one of the best preachers I've ever heard. Back in the day, when we were younger, brother, we could jump a little higher, scream a little harder, sweat. I remember this guy walking up and down the aisle. He may be on a, don't let him fool you. He has got it in him. And he'll always be a blessing to you. Every message he's ever preached, everything he's ever said is what we need, what the church needs. And he's a missionary. He's an evangelist, and an evangelist travels and goes from church to church to do just what a pastor and a teacher does. That's to edify the body of Christ. It's the same. And he comes in with a fresh look and the same old book and preaching to feed the soul, see sinners come to Christ, see the church strengthened, see the men of God, the people of God, the workers of God, and just the casual Christian that's going to float in here Sunday morning just to be in church, they're going to get a blessing. And so I'm really looking forward. Enough of that. You can tell I haven't been here in 3 or 4 weeks, so running off at the mouth, they're back there waving flags. Look, we're trying to tape this, get to work. Matthew 7:28, very familiar passage with you. The title of the lesson this morning, it's a Sunday school lesson that goes along with why we do what we do. And the thoughts kind of come to me, and I begin to develop this. And I'm going to title the message, Speaking with Authority. And as I develop this message, you know, you may not see yourself as one that speaks with authority, but if you're speaking the Word of God, using the Word of God, and you believe the Word of God, speaking like you believe the Word of God, there's an authority connected with that that this old world has to stand up and pay attention to, and hopefully that lost person or that person that you're talking to or however you want to call it, preaching to, whatever you're doing, witnessing to, that's the authority that God gave us, and there's a power connected with speaking the Word of God with authority. So the Bible says this in Matthew 7:28-29, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That's a mouthful. That's always fascinated me. My Bible tells me he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of this book. Great multitudes followed Jesus while he was upon the earth. The common people, the scriptures tell us, heard him gladly. In Mark, in the Gospels again, Mark chapter 12, 37, this David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? That's a question. And then it said, and the common people heard him gladly. Aren't you just glad you're common people? But brother, once you get saved, you're walking in high cotton. And you've got the Word of God, And brother, I don't care if it's dignitaries, kings, presidents, governors, and right on down the line to the dog catcher. If you can witness to them or say a word from that book, you're speaking with the authority of a king, the king. So here, the common people heard him. Could I say this? It's the common people that get the work done. Amen? It's the common people that get saved, and God chose those people to reach the world. So that's a missions thought, and it's quite a thought. He spoke in a language that everybody could understand. Herod the king heard John the Baptist, and he said he heard John the Baptist gladly. That's a king now. And that's Mark 6:20 and Mark 6:14. Herod heard of Jesus, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was raised from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Now, I don't care how lowly you think you might be. I don't know, maybe Herod stealing Philip's wife, Herodias, had something to do with his guilt trip. I don't know. But he is saying he heard John the Baptist gladly, who was the forerunner of Christ. And brother, when Christ showed up, he thought it was John back from the dead. Do you think the word of God doesn't have an impact on folks? Even a king here, a wicked king, had an impact. Both commoner and kings were eager to hear him. And I thought that marvelous. Many traveled great distances on foot. Hey, we got cars and buses and trucks and bicycles and go-karts and quad runners. But many traveled great distances on foot. When I wrote this down, I was wondering, we got these modern-day cars, people driving Cadillacs and SUVs and 4Runners. I wonder if they'll just get to church this week. I just wonder, are they going to hear him gladly? But many traveled great distances on foot to hear his great teachings sent from God. In contrast to this thought, the people heard the scribes and Pharisees also. But it's quite, in my mind, quite obvious from scriptures that they heard them routinely, week after week after week. They're religious, and they heard the old, windbags blowing off. But I can tell you they weren't speaking the inerrant, holy words of God. They were speaking as religious leaders, and we have our set today. They heard them out of the same, people heard them out of the same sense of obligation or responsibility, however you want to define it, because they spoke without authority and only the traditional. That's quite a contrast to this book and those that speak the word of God, and even Jesus Christ himself when he spoke the word of God with authority. So you have power sometimes that you know not of. So be the witness, be the missionary, be the guy that goes out, the lady that goes out that you can. Dr. Vance Havner, now he passed before I got to meet him. But a good pastor friend of mine, gone, dead, and in heaven, pastored till he was 84 years old, Dr. Fred Hill from the First Baptist Church of Eaton, Ohio, preached there many times over the years, done great revivals there, and a lot of folks out, and still preach for his assistant pastor some as the doors open each year, seem to get up there. But he knew Dr. Vance Havner personally. And so I, by proxy, became kind of a reader and a studier, and every man has his issues. And I'm not going there. I'm going to the positive side of things. I believe he was a man of God. He said this: the average church in America starts at 11 sharp and ends at 12 dull. Yeah. I thought, why in the world is that? Well, it is a horrible thing when the yawn is more prevalent in a church service than a hearty amen. Nothing is more deadening and damning to the soul than cold, formal, lifeless orthodoxy. No wonder I like that guy. Even at my age, I find myself wanting to do the Holy Ghost shuffle just every once in a while. Amen. I know somebody goes, oh, Brother Phil believes in dancing in the church. I'll tell you what. Number one, I'm going to say about three things, maybe three thoughts, a little foundation whereby laid down here on speaking with authority. We need the Word of God preached and taught with authority. Thank God we're in for it this week. Amen. Of course, people accuse me of being a little too hard, Brother Phil, once in a while. But it's not without compassion. And by the way, a little tip. Thank you for the prayers. I thank you for that. And I want to get this pre-said before something else happens. I shared a little time with a young lady back here sitting next to Teddy and Mary, little granddaughter, great-granddaughter. And her birthday is on the 24th. And she's got a pony called Brownie. And boy, old Phil, his old brain clicked in. Hey, old man, you got a birthday on the same day. It's coming up. But you ain't going to be six. You're going to be 74. So I thought I better announce to the church so that they have about 3 days to get my card bought. And I'll bet the church bought it, brother. Anyway. But thank you again. As your friend, my class. Hey, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. You know, I'm just messing with you a little bit. See if you're paying attention. Amen. People have called, text, and I'm in the media group, brother. A text to do the job for me. I don't need a birthday card. And I think I got the card envelope with no card. I just wrote what I wanted to say on a piece of paper, stuffed some money in it because of Ecclesiastes 10:19. I'm not a big card guy. I'm a big money guy. You'll have to go read that Ecclesiastes passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We need the word of God preached and taught with authority. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall, amen, judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. That's a motivator. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. Although the masses fit that scripture right there, there's still a few that will lend their ear and hear. And when we have that opportunity, we must speak the word of God with authority. So what a shame it is when people come to our church hurting and needing the balm of Gilead, the healing effects of a spiritual message from God's word, and leave without hearing from heaven. And it's always been my desire and my prayer anywhere that I go and have an opportunity to either preach or teach the word of God, whether it's on a street corner or whether it's in a Taj Mahal, a monastery, someplace, to infidelity, most of them, to preach the word of God to make sure they hear something from heaven. And if you'll just preach the word, they'll have heard from heaven. They may not realize they've heard from heaven, but they will have heard from heaven. So we need the word of God preached and taught with authority. So we as pastors, preachers, evangelists, and teachers must be careful to immerse ourselves. I'm speaking personally now to the, I don't like the word, I'm talking to the leadership. Let me say it like that. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. You don't need to watch more messages and hear. It's good to do all that, but you need to stay in the book if you're a teacher, a preacher, a leader. And I think we have that around here. The authority is the Word of God. I wanted to say, number two, not only need to preach and teach with some authority as a mission outreach of this church or just a witness from the church, and that's missionary work in itself. We need to reach all people. Now, look, I was so excited when I got the text that a little girl got saved last Sunday. Hallelujah. But that makes what we're about worth it. I got saved as a kid, 12 years old. And yeah, it comes, you know, you get saved. It's not a big fanfare, but looking back from a 74-year-old perspective at what happened when I was 12, wow, what a miracle God hath wrought. So we need to reach all people. This is a global book I'm holding in my hand. I'm teaching from this morning. It's global. In Matthew chapter 28, if you want to check the reference, verse 19, probably verse 20, is one of the formatted verses that we use in this class because it's called the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What a responsibility. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, verse 20, teaching. Boy, we fall down there, don't we? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. If you know how to get a commission there, you get a promise. And brother, if God is for you, who can be against you? The whole world may think they're against you, but brother, when they're against you, they don't realize, spiritually speaking, they're on the losing side, and you're on the winning side. So we need to reach all people. Say, what does that? Well, Jesus had time. Let me use him as our example today. Jesus had time to talk to little children, hence the little girl that got saved last week. And not only did he have time to talk to the little children, he had time for the mixed multitude and the populace that just come to eat loaves and fishes. He fed the 5,000. You say, why was he able to do all that? Well, he wanted to reach all people. He died for the whole world, not just a little church group someplace or a little Calvinistic something over here or over there. He died for the whosoever will. And so when I look at the fact that Jesus had time to even talk to the little children, let alone do the 5,000, Jesus had time to talk to a worldly woman. A lot of self-righteous, get me going, Christian wouldn't walk across the street to talk to a streetwalker. I worked just about 10 years on a street corner. 5 years full time with Brother Bruce McDowell. Went every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and if I wasn't preaching someplace as an evangelist, those days were marked off. I preached on the street someplace, wherever, whatever city I was in. If I was in Alabama, Bonnie and I drove to Alabama, hold a tent meeting down, I was holding that tent meeting. The pastor says, what are you doing? No, I've got other things I need to do. I'm going to go preach on the street. Preach on the street? I said, yeah. Right down to the bus stop down there and found a Bible backed up against a big old plate glass wall where when you say something, I had a big mouth anyway, Brother Phil, big, you know, you could hear me hollering for half a mile. It's a Gabbard thing. I say, well, the Bible said, by the time you said that, four or five black ladies, preach him, Lord. You know, they're all standing around. Next thing I know, there's about 30 people standing. That's back in the day, man. And I preached Thursday, Friday, and then I'd preach that night in the tent and never say too much about it. Amen. That's just what we did. You say, why? Well, if Jesus had time, you say, what was down there? Worldly people. Many times at Fountain Square, down at Finley Market. Everybody talks about Finley Market across the Rhine. I was down there if I was in town every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Brother Bruce preaching on the street. Somebody, well, who's he preach to? Pimps, prostitutes, whores. Oh, yeah. Black lady come up to one time, and pimp was dragging her down the street, said, hold up, that guy's a preacher. And he's looking at her, you know, all the bling on and her ragged out, bless her heart. He stopped and held on to her so she couldn't get away. She said, save me, please save me. I said, sister, I can't save you, but Jesus can. Help me. You think people ain't hurting today? My Savior had time to stop, went to a place no Jew would have ever went, all up in Samaria there, and met a worldly woman who had a background that would shame the average self-righteous church member. But he had time to talk to the woman at the well. That's John 4 if you're looking. Jesus had time to touch a leper. He touched a leprous man and made him whole. I don't have that kind of power. But I do have time to visit the sick and the shut-ins and the people that are in hospitals and people that have terminal illnesses, and you understand what I'm saying. And no church congregation in this day is without that ministry. We even have a ministry to those that have lost someone. We have like a grief ministry. You understand what I'm saying? And you know what a grief ministry is? Is maybe you just coming over and sitting down to somebody that's just buried their husband, their wife, or their child, and saying, how are you doing today? You can't bring them back, but you can sure show compassion as a Christian worker, a minister, a missionary mentality. You can have care to sit down and talk to somebody that's gone through. That's grief counseling. You may not say a word. They may just need to talk, or they may need not to talk and just sit there and shed a few tears. Been there, done that. If you do that, thank God for you. Say, what is that? Well, that's speaking the word of God with authority. And when you don't know what to say, my Bible teaches me the Holy Ghost of God does. And he'll get the work done. That's Romans. So I thought that was in context of prayer. Listen, we're to pray without ceasing. And if you're a good witness, you'll have to stay prayed up. Amen? He's got a job to do. Jesus had the time to heal the sick. Jesus had time to win a tax collector and eat with publicans and sinners. I like that. You say, man, I'll tell you what, the people in office up there, I don't know, that Joe Biden, I don't think he got a clue. Yeah, from the presidency right on down to every level of our politics. But you know what? As Christians, we're still to pray for them, and we're still to try to be a witness to them. And we're, over the course of my life, I've had the privilege to witness to people in higher places. Maybe some of you have too. Especially in the work that we did, we're around rich people, we're around famous people, ball players, worked on a lot of ball players' houses, and we worked on their restaurants, the Jeff Ruby thing there in Cincinnati, on the floating restaurant down there on the river. We were the crew that done most of the work there. So we seen Pete Rose, we seen Boomer Esiason back in the day. Man, I'm old, I'm dating myself. But you know what? Always carried a track or two, a little card or something with a couple verses on it. Good verses, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Romans 10, 13. If you don't get, I still got them cards in my pocket. I passed out one to a dignified black man. What day is this, Sunday? Saturday, I had to go to VA Saturday to get a shot. And anyhow, long story short, I got a witness to this guy, and I gave him that card. Man, I'll tell you what, just nothing like seeing a 50-year-old black man, tall and good, looking handsome man, a salesman, get a smile on his face. I said, there's two verses of scripture on the back of that. I want you to read them. So that's kind of what I do now. I don't get to preach much out anymore, but man, you can still be a witness. You can still speak the word of God with authority. Amen. So Jesus had time to win that old tax collector, and he wrote the book of Matthew. Wow. to the Lord, and then he sat down and ate with publicans and sinners. And you know that rich cap crowd, they threw a fit, son. I mean that Pharisaical crowd, I said rich crowd, Pharisaical crowd, they threw a fit. You're eating with publicans and sinners. You must be a Beelzebub. You know, they had all that to say. They're going to talk about you too. He spoke clearly. This is Jesus. He spoke with authority. He spoke clearly. No one misunderstood him. That's some power. Even if they wanted to deny it, they still understood what he was saying. Claiming to be the Son of God, they picked up stones to stone him. You say, what's that about? They knew exactly what he was saying. And they knew what the law said. Anybody claiming to be God, worthy of death by stoning. So they began to try to stone him. Say, did they pull, how'd that work out for him? They couldn't pull it off. You say, why? Because he is who he said he was. Amen. The word of God has an authority connected to it. Devils don't like it. Backslidden people don't like it. The world don't like it. But you still speak the word of God with authority. I'm not talking about meanness. I'm not talking about shouting in somebody's face. I'm not talking about a road rage incident where you get yourself filled full of 9mm. I'm not talking about that. And you say, well, I was just trying to witness. No, you weren't. You run him down because he cut you off. Tell me what kind of Christian you are. All that Christian cussing you've been doing. Huh? Well, I don't cuss. Yeah, but I've heard some of it. Well. And you waved at him with one finger. Yeah, I know. I know who you are. Yeah. You think I just come in the last load of pumpkins? Huh. He spoke clearly. No one misunderstood him. Many hated him. As today, many loved him. But everyone understood him. Yeah, how about that? So, thirdly, see if I can develop this. I'm moving along here. I try to keep it to 3 points and a story or two. A couple verses of scripture thrown in, brother. I'm getting old. I look at that old age thing. A lot of people don't live to be old. They die young. God's seen fit to let me live 74 years. I'm going to enjoy the ride all the way through. See what the next day holds. Amen. But we have been entrusted, third point, we've been entrusted with the Word of God. And it's a question, as always. I seem to work a question in here someplace to get you to think, rethink, and draw you a little closer to God. Do you speak the Word of God with authority? And in that I mean, are you confident when you talk to someone about Christ? Are you confident when you talk to them about their soul? And there's always a little fear connected with it, but the fear of man bringeth a snare, and perfect love casteth out all fear, and we weren't saved to fear only God. And that is wisdom and knowledge. So the last point, we've been entrusted here, we the church, in our Great Commission verse in Matthew 28, and we've been entrusted with the Word of God. You know, he didn't entrust the educational systems of the world with taking care of the Word of God. They're not responsible for it. Matter of fact, they do away with it and have done away with it on the lower levels, and they're trying to get all the way up. It finally will. Look, when the rapture happens here, it'll affect the whole globe, but it's going to really affect America. I believe America's probably got more Christians in it than any other nation on the face of the earth. I could be wrong. Per se, per population, I'm throwing that out there. And I'm talking born again. I'm not talking people that claim to be a Christian but have never met Christ. Plenty of those too. They'll go through the tribulation. But when the rapture happens, you'll find out what America really is. A third world country. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Say, oh, Brother Phil, you're a prophet of doom. Now, I'm a prophet of truth. And I am speaking with authority on this book. Met a man in the Home Depot store yesterday. His name was Todd. He is a salesman for the tile aisle and the grouts and all the stuff. And I told him I was looking for a colored grout. Say, what do you want with a colored grout? I'm look. I'm old, I'm retired, I got hobbies. Of course, when they see an old gray-haired man with pot belly, they don't think he knows anything. So here they go. He's been a clerk in a store somewhere all of his life selling nails, and you're going to give me the third degree on why not to do grout on this and that. I said, look, I am a skilled tradesman, and I served at that trade over 50 years. I'm a plasterer. You mean a drywall finisher? I knew then. My moron meter went, doom. I got a hold of myself. I said, self, you're teaching on speaking the word of God with authority. Get this thing back around to the book. Well, what all did you do if you were a plasterer? I said, well, the last big job we did was Noah's Ark. No, you mean you did the ark? Well, not the wood part. The Amish did that. And Samuel's driving. He's up in New York today. They sawed the lumber and built the ark. But we did anything you see stuccoed, textured brown down there. My little three-man crew, my boys, me, this old man, we did it all. The six-story tower. So now I had his attention. And I said, haven't you ever been to the ark? He said, oh, well, yeah, well, no. I said, well, you probably don't have enough money to get in because it's more about money than it is Jesus. I had to get that in there somehow. Well, he bought it. Well, could I ask you a question, please? I said, sure. He didn't know I'm a preacher. He didn't know who I was. He had read me for a total moron. I looked the part. But God saved me and made me a child of the King. One day I'll get a new body. It won't look so distracting. Yeah. I got my little card out. It says Evangelist Phil Gabbert. All the church stuff on there, websites, all the stuff, all the messages ever been preached there, the whole deal. Two verses of scripture on the back, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I said, now look, the most important is two, same story. You know, I got a spiel. Give me that. Oh, thank you. He said, well, can I ask you a Bible question? I said, now we're going. We ain't talking about grout no more and how stupid I am. We're talking about the book. And he said, do you know anything about the Bible? I was modest. I said, well, just ask me the question. I didn't even go that far, brother. Well, that thing over there in Revelation chapter 3, I'm to the third church, Revelation chapter 1, I'm to the third church. He said, who is that he's talking about there that has the key? And I said, look, I let him talk. He went on, he wove a web that a Jehovah's Witnesses would have been scared of, you know. He got all done, took a breath. I said, well, Revelation chapter 3, those keys have something to do with the Lord himself. And when he walked upon this earth, and that prophetical reference is clear back to Psalms 22. I said, he's talking about the Lord himself going to die. And man, I give him about a 3-year college course in 5 minutes on who the Lord really is and who wrote that book. And I said, I'm going to take you to square one. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God without error? Inspired, preserved by the Holy Ghost of God. He looked right at me and said, yes, I do. I knew then he's going to listen. I didn't get away from him for 35 minutes. But say, what'd you do? Preached him the book. Man spoke the word of God with authority and compassion and kindness. Say, will it do? I don't know. Only glory will tell. Probably never see him again. And again, he might show up this morning, brother. I don't know. You never know, man. You just don't know. So if a 6'5" black guy comes in, make him welcome. A little short, skinny guy comes in, Mr. Todd, make him welcome. Works for Home Depot. So we have been entrusted with the Word of God. And my question to us this morning is, do we speak the Word of God in our witness, in our preaching, in our teaching, and in our everyday life with authority? Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. That's what I'm talking about. They were emboldened. Persecution came along. They were persecuted, and the church went everywhere preaching the word of God, the people of the church, with boldness. We should be willing to give this message to all men, rich or poor, learned or unlearned, cultured or uncultured, however you want to say it. Whether it's a man in the gutter on the street, and I've picked up a few of those. I picked up an old man, I still remember his name's Chester. I had an old Ford 1962 Ford van that, of all places, the Grace Brethren Church gave me when I was preaching a tent meeting in West Union, Ohio, about 100 years ago. And that van had been sitting in back behind the Baptist church, or it's a Brethren church, for all those years. And you know what? It was in immaculate shape. Faded bad. Seats were good. Little six-cylinder in. I had that van forever. I drove that thing, hauled all them kids in that thing. No heat in the back. I found out about that in the wintertime, you know. But never forgot, I was down on the street, and I pulled that old van over. Me and Mac Dow. And there's this old guy laying on the street. Empty bottle of wine right there by him. This is early in the morning, brother. We're down there somewhere around the riverfront. And I said, hold up. There's a guy laying on the street there, man. And we knew all the rescue missions and who you could take where. And he looked like he needed help. And, man, I didn't want to be that guy. I wanted to be the Good Samaritan that day. I didn't want to be that religious leader, that other guy. So I stopped. I pulled over. We got out. And he was sleeping on the street. It was spring of the year. And he's shivering a little bit, but you could smell whatever he'd been drinking. You know what? But I got him up, set him up. I said, "You okay? I need a place to stay. I'm going to be hungry. I'm getting hungry." Probably hadn't eaten in days, but he had enough money to drink. Got him in that van, that old van. Sat there in the back, and we were in the front there. I hear him back there hacking and coughing. And I'm thinking, "Lord, help me, Jesus. I hope you don't die here." And we were headed across the river to a drop-off rescue mission there that we use right up there on Mama Street, down hard part of town where all prostitutes were and all the gambling stuff. And he coughed up the awfulest honker and spit right in my floor. Was I glad that old van didn't have carpet? Say, "How'd you feel about that?" Well, I held it together. We got him up there and cleaned it up just like if the dog had thrown up in my car. No big deal. Because last time I checked, we were dogs anyway. Got him out. I've never forgot Chester. Say, did he get saved? I have no idea. He was too drunk that morning to know. But we gave him some tracts, and we prayed with him there on the street corner, and we ushered him in, and they got him a bed, and he got a shower, and they were going to feed him. And just, you say, why? Because we've been entrusted with the Word of God. Amen. And we're to speak the Word of God. We're to conduct ourselves as Christians and ambassadors from a far country, and we're there to help those are so desperately in need. And I've described a drunk on the street. Brother Jeff sings that song, one of my favorite songs they sing. And if you can't see yourself helping the drunk on the street, you may need to check out where you're living and how you're living when it comes to the spiritual things that we're to do. And I had these thoughts. We should proclaim this message with the assurance that it has all authority and power. We need a revival. Revival only comes from God. I know you've seen that fine coach out there. We have this fine preacher with us, but I'll guarantee you he does not have revival in his pocket. But he's got a book, and he's going to get up, and he's going to speak the Word of God with authority. So we need a revival. Revival only comes when God's people are willing to meet God's conditions. That's knowing who you are and what great responsibility you have as a child of God. My prayer as your teacher, one of your pastors, My prayer is that all those that minister the word of God will speak authoritatively from God's word with a warm heart and a compassionate spirit and great zeal. Great zeal. Thank you for being in the Sunday school class today. Thank you for allowing me to teach. And thank you for praying for me. Thank you very much, class. And then church, they'll thank the church, or I'll thank the church later. And last but not least, my birthday is Wednesday. So thank you very much. We'll have a word of prayer, and you're dismissed. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your book. Thank you for class and lessons, fine folks. Thanks for the challenge and encouragement from the book. Bless our service. Bless our singing, our songs, our special music, our instrumentalists, our musicians, and especially our preaching today. Brother Phil, my friend, Brother Phil Skipper, it's in Jesus' lovely name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. God bless you. Good morning. Get to know one another.